morning, Southlake. I first want to begin by giving a big thank you to the worship team for all that they do for us, and also to Judy for her prayer this morning, and Michael for organizing and leading our church during this time. So this morning, I want to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for making church a priority in this time. And these are difficult times, but I hope that you have joined this morning to be refreshed and renewed by the word that the Lord would give you this morning. I would like to begin this morning with a verse from Scripture. If you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 19, verse 25. At this point in the book of John, Jesus is upon the cross, and we are encountering those of his followers who are there in his last few short moments. So verse 25 reads this. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. This is the word of our Lord this morning. Would you join me in a time of prayer for our time together? Dear Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with all of those who this message reaches. May you open their eyes, their ears, and their hearts to hear and see what you would have for each and every one of your children. I pray that the words spoken here would not be my own, but yours fully, Lord. May you fill us with your Spirit through a message of thankfulness this morning. I pray all this in the name of the Father, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, today is Mother's Day, if you haven't quite gathered that, and it is normally a day where we would come together as a church body and celebrate the mothers in our family here at church. And I know we cannot really gather today as normal because of this new normal that we are in, but I hope that you take time to recognize the mothers in your life today and celebrate them. I will be doing that here from the pulpit, but before I thank and celebrate mothers, I want to make sure that I recognize, like Judy did, those who may have a difficult time with Mother's Day for various reasons. I want you to know that the Lord sees you and he knows you and is with you today. Look to him for his love, for he has formed you in your mother's womb. He sees your pain today, and you can know that he is close. Now moving on, I do want to spend time saying thank you to the mothers in our church family. I want to say thank you to them for the ways that they represent God's love to us. So moms, thank you for caring for us when we needed someone to be there. Thank you for showing us the fierce love you have to protect us. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for going unnoticed in all that you do and continuing to faithfully serve. Thank you for your warm hugs. Thank you for your nurturing spirit. Thank you for representing the deep love that God has for us in the ways that you love us. Thank you for all of this and so much more. Rest today and let us serve and love you in the way that you love and serve us. I think mothers have a lot to teach us. I mean, they raise us, of course, but I think they have a lot to teach us about who God is and the characteristics of God. So today, I hope to look at what makes a good mother and how that reveals God's goodness. Where better place to start than with my own mom? I'm blessed to say that I have had a great mother. And if I'm being quite honest with you, she is without a doubt the best mom in the world. For those of you who do not know, my parents divorced early in my life, and my mom has been the most consistent and faithful person I know since she has raised both my brother and I on her own. Mom, I know you are watching this, and I want to say thank you for all that you have done for me. Thank you for being a constant in my life, even when I wasn't constant or when I was ungrateful. Now, as much as I love my mom, and as close as we are now, that wasn't always the case. I'm just like my mom, and we would go head-to-head all the time and butt heads, especially when I was a teenager. Can any moms relate to that? Yet, she never gave up on me, no matter how difficult I was. Here's where I can brag on my mom and try and convince you that she truly is the best mom in the world. My mom and I had had a really bad fight, worse than normal. I was 13 at the time, and my mom, in her infinite wisdom, knew that if she didn't work fast, my teenage years and my teenage attitude would get ahead of our relationship. She would lose me forever. Now, maybe a bit extreme, but I applaud her for being able to recognize that because we were fighting that often. So, to fix our relationship and strengthen our family, she stuck my brother and I in the car for 3 weeks. And this began our annual tradition of going on three-week road trips. Now, I don't know about you, but it is very difficult to ignore, fight, and avoid someone when you are crammed in a very tight space for 3 weeks. Those moments on our road trips have become some of the most cherished memories that I have. One of those, the best road trip, in my opinion, was the summer before I left school to go to Olivet. And we, as a family, drove to Alaska. That, in and of itself, is a feat of its own, just driving there, through all the way through Canada and the Yukon. However, we wanted to take it up just one more notch. So as a family, me, my brother, and my mom, we drove 60 hours straight to Alaska. Didn't stop at a hotel or anything, just stopped for gas and food, and did not shower. So you can imagine being crammed in a car for 3 weeks and having three smelly people who were very tired by the time we crossed the Alaskan border. But that's one of my favorite memories as a family on our road trips that we've taken. Now, again, being in the car for 60 hours straight, and even before that, through our many other road trips, did that instantly fix our relationship? Absolutely not. If you ask my mom, I was still a butthead teenager and was still defiant. But over the years, I came to soften up and mature and recognize the goodness of those road trips and our relationship. And to really take the time to understand what that meant and be thankful for her in doing that. So now, as a family, we have been on around 6 3-week road trips, plus some other traveling excursions, and have traveled across the whole country. I can proudly say that I've been to all 50 states, and that would not be possible without the mom I have, who did what she needed to do to make sure our family was healthy. So thank you, Mom. We learned to overcome many difficulties. Even in those road trips, we got a flat tire in El Paso, Texas, and our tent flooded, on our very first road trip when we were in the Grand Tetons. So you can imagine we've been through some very interesting times together, but we've learned to grow as a family and really appreciate one another and work through those hard times. And then now they're fun memories, especially the tent flooding. So when I look to my experience with my mom, I can't help but think that a characteristic of a good mom is a mom who is with you through all things. Someone who is constant and consistent. I see that even when reading the Bible. If we look back to the story in John chapter 19, we see that even in that account, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, Mary, the one we celebrate at Christmas time for birthing Jesus, was also with him during Easter for his death and later resurrection. Mary, the once teenage girl who birthed the Son of Man, now with him as he suffers for our sins and for her sins as well. I'm not a mom, obviously, so I cannot know what it is like to bear a child, to hold them for their very first breath, and to see them on to their very last. We cannot know for sure if Mary knew what exactly would happen to Jesus, especially when she was holding him as a baby. There's even a popular Christmas song about it. Mary, did you know? Asking Mary these questions. Mary, did you know who your son would become? But that's not essential to the story. If it was essential, Scripture would record that. But what is essential to know, as recorded by John, was that Mary was with her son until the very end. Whether she knew from the beginning or not, Mary was present there How did Mary, the mother of Jesus, deal with the grief of losing a child? In that moment, as she watched her son die, did she consider the promise that the angel Gabriel spoke to her, recorded in the book of Luke, that Jesus would reign over the descendants of Jacob? How do we reconcile the promises that God has in light of death or even simply difficult times? When I'm faced with a difficult time in life, maybe even dealing with a global crisis, in my humanness, I can almost hear my voice saying, like Jesus himself calling out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't know about you, but right now, in full honesty, I find myself in that place, even over this past year. So let me share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart and what it looks like to cope in the midst of hard times. A way to cope that does not diminish our humanness, but honors and glorifies the Lord. If you would turn to me to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, here we have Paul's message to the church of Thessalonica, and at the end of most of Paul's writings, he includes a time to encourage the audience whom he is writing to. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 reads, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Again, these are Paul's encouraging words. Paul, the very same man who would be imprisoned multiple times, who would write these same encouraging words from prison, Paul, who also faced great suffering in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, who says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you." Let us look again back to Mary with the words of Paul on our hearts. Place yourself standing next to Mary as you both look up to the Son of Man hanging on the cross. Imagine seeing his tortured body, the suffering, and the pain in his eyes. How in those moments did Mary, Jesus' mom, find the words to rejoice always, to pray, to give thanks? When we are faced with a difficult situation, it can almost feel impossible to rejoice, to give thanks, to even pray. But there is hope. I promise you there is hope. And that hope is found in our Lord Christ. Jesus, who did not remain on the cross. Through the resurrection and salvation in Christ by faith, we can have hope. Hope in eternal life. That a goodbye to a dead loved one is not the final word. Not even death can separate us from the love that God has for us. Hope that the broken can be restored. Hope that the enslaved can be delivered. Hope that there is healing. Hope that grief, pain, and suffering will one day be washed away in the redemption of creation. Even when it seems like all is lost, hope remains. I think we can have hope because we remember and give thanks for the gifts we have been given. When we rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all of our circumstances. Thankfulness in the present enables hope for tomorrow. Thankfulness in the midst of a global crisis enables hope for tomorrow, that this will one day be over. Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worries of its own. When we are thankful for his mercy today, each day becomes a gift. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. So when we are thankful, it draws our attention to God's movement in our present reality. Even on the hardest days, we must be thankful. Paul even says that this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So then how? How is it even possible that we can look at even the hardest of days, the loss of a loved one, a difficult situation, a trauma that happened to you? How can you look at those moments and rejoice and give thanks? It's difficult. I've been there. I'm sure many of you have as well. But there is hope for healing. There is hope that Jesus does not forsake us or leave us there. Today we are living amidst a new normal. That is true. The events of this pandemic have shaken the very foundation of our lives. Removing the stability of our comforting routines, we have found ourselves trying to rebuild. Even here at the church, we have trying to figure out how do we go about loving others well and showing the gospel truth that Christ loves us when we can't even give a hug in a time where that's needed. But I do want to encourage you to look at this time. Look at your life, not with a negative attitude, an attitude of despair, but with an attitude of gratitude. And yes, I meant that to rhyme, because it'll stick in your head a lot easier. An attitude of gratitude. Let us not focus on what we have lost, but what we have gained. To have an attitude of gratitude looks like this. To give thanks for more time with family. To give thanks for hopefully more rest. To give thanks to be creative and intentional in the ways that we care and connect with one another. To give thanks to spend more time with God without the plague of busyness. Do not let the enemy keep your eyes down looking at the world around you without God. Look up to the Lord and give thanks and glorify Him, for He gives everything. Thank Him that He loved you so much that He would take on your sin so that you would not have to suffer eternity without Him. I want you to think right now, think about the person you care the most about in the world. For me, even on this Mother's Day and throughout all of the year, it's her. It's my mom. She, again, is the most consistent person in my life, and I could not imagine life without her. In the same way, God the Father, who created you, could not imagine eternity without you. Eternity is not some far-off thing that we're waiting for to go to when we die. No. Eternity is today. God is not waiting for you to join Him once you pass on from this world. No. God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is here now. Through the Holy Spirit, we can have fellowship with Him today. We can have a relationship with Him. Does that mean that all of our sufferings in our life are gone? Absolutely not. But if we look to Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, it says, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? God wants a relationship with you. At the beginning of the story of Scripture, in the book of Genesis, God created us all in His image. And yet we tried to take authority and wisdom on our own without needing God. And that is where sin entered the world. And since that moment, we had been separated from God. We had been separated from Him, removed from the garden. And the whole story, especially the Old Testament, is of God trying to reach His people and them not returning the favor and being faithful to Him. There are some key figures who are faithful to God, but even in the midst of that, when He gives them the law, they don't honor it or respect it or follow it. So God has to do what He must do in order to reconcile His creation to Himself. In the Old Testament, we often see practices of atonement, where a person would sacrifice an unblemished lamb to cover their sin. The blood would cover them. We see it in the Passover narrative as well in Egypt when God delivers his people out of slavery. And that's where Jesus enters the picture. Jesus is that perfect lamb that will atone for all of our sins. He was perfect. He went without knowing sin. And yet he still suffered as an innocent man for us. He took on the punishment that we deserve for our sin to give us a free gift of grace that all we have to do is ask for forgiveness and accept that grace into our lives and continue on in a faithful relationship to him. Now, I don't know about you, but even in the hardest days where I've had the most struggle, at the end of the day, I can be thankful that there's a God who loves me and would prove his loyalty to me and his love for me. And even when I've suffered the greatest pain or the worst hardship, I can still be thankful for that grace that he extends to me. Because in my humanness, in my sinful nature, I hurt other people as well. And I would want forgiveness. So I can then give grace to others. So having an attitude of gratitude can really shape and transform the way that you see God moving in your daily life, in the way that he loves you and cares for you like a good mom. We can thank God today that he is constant and consistent through our lives. Like again, the characteristics of a good mom, God is always with you. If you have had a poor relationship with a parent, I do want to recognize that. But I also want you to know that God, your heavenly Father, is good. Don't let the human failures of a parent cloud your vision of who God as a parent is in your life. He is all that is good. Like I thanked our moms to celebrate them, I want to end our time together thanking God in prayer, rejoicing in all that he has done for us. Will you join me in giving thanks to God and having an attitude of gratitude? Dear Father, thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for our mothers, and thank you for knitting us in their womb. Thank you for dying on the cross so that we would not be separated from you. Thank you for being good and constant in our lives, even when we have not been faithful to you. Oh Lord, forgive us for the times that we have not been thankful to you. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for the depth of life that you give us. Thank you for being able to experience life with you. Lord, we love you. May you bless your children today. May you bless mothers today. Thank you for all the unseen things you do for us. Thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. May we feel the warmth of your presence today. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, South Lake, this is a significant day. It's Mother's Day. But it's significant for another reason, that today is Michael's last day here at South Lake. Now, we've put this message out before, and hopefully this isn't shocking to anybody. But this is his last day with us. And so one of the things that I am a huge proponent of is to end well. That so often in ministry, we have those that move on for whatever reason, and we have a tendency to make that a sad or a tragic outlook. But I want to point out something. This is a day to actually celebrate. Sure, we're going to miss Michael, but like we read in the New Testament, there are times where the apostles would send people off. And this is a time of sending. This is something joyous and to celebrate, that Michael is going back to school to get a degree, to further his degree in counseling. And he feels a unique calling in this world. That is a precious thing and something to celebrate. So we're going to be sad that you are not with us. I have personally enjoyed this time together. But we're going to celebrate. So we've already said that when we're able to meet back in this building without restriction, we're going to ask Michael to come back, and we're going to give him a proper send-off because that is something that's part of this that we should be able to celebrate together, his moving on. So he's not that far from us. He's going to be coming back. But like the apostles of old, we're going to send Michael. And so I've asked you to come up here. We're going to lay hands on Michael. We're going to pray over him and send him on his new mission. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us with Michael, that you have brought him here to be a part of our church, that he has had an impact on our youth, and he has touched many hearts. I've personally had the pleasure of witnessing how he has an old soul, that he relates to so many different people in this church. So, Father, we send Michael now back to you. He's going to spend time in study and academics. We pray that you share your wisdom with him, build him up, encourage him in his studies, help him to maintain diligence throughout this time of study. May you equip him for the calling that he feels you have placed upon him. We pray for Michael in this time that, Father, would you protect him, keep him on track. Father, would you help him through the tough times that I'm sure are ahead, that there will be struggles with school and there will be struggles with life. Father, carry him through there. May his heart always have a strong desire to serve you. May he remain faithful and steadfast in his calling, and may he proclaim your word faithfully until he draws his last breath. Father, we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, South Lake, if you would like to receive a blessing, would you please rise at this time and hold out your hands like this? Church, this morning you heard a message to have an attitude of gratitude. I love that expression. That one's going to stick. May we be grateful for what God has given us. May you never, ever forget that. We thank our moms on this day for everything that they have given us. Church, spend some time loving on your mom, maybe remembering your mom, or maybe just hugging your mom. Take advantage of today because you never know how long she will be there. Church, go in peace, and we will see you next week. Take care. Goodbye.